and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned to the broadcast again, and we're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 15. Mark 15, verse number 39. The Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified. He has cried, the scriptures say here in Mark chapter 15, verse 37, with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. He yielded up his life. It tells us in Luke that our Lord Jesus, the last thing that he said, saying the last thing that he said was, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And then he said also that I thirst. Seven things or so that our Lord says on the cross. Seven things that these men that are around doing this deed have heard. And Jesus gives up his life. And it says in verse 38, "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." And that's certainly of note regarding the Jews. Many priests there at the temple preparing for things that would have been done. Passover sacrifice, even being offered, daily sacrifice, evening sacrifice, no doubt being offered or prepared. And this veil of the Holy of Holies rent in twain, not from the bottom up, but from the top to the bottom. The veil has been rent because the sacrifice of God has been given. The Passover lamb, the annual atonement, the fulfilling of all the sacrifices in the ceremonial sacrificial law have been completed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, or God, now is operating to where he doesn't dwell, and this has always been the case, but a greater manifestation that God doesn't dwell between the cherubims and the Holy of Holies, but he dwells entirely and completely in the hearts of his people here on this earth. And so it says here in verse 39, "And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God." Now you got to understand this leader, he's a leader of this group that has been given this deed, and most likely was in on the mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ at the Praetorium there in the judgment hall of the Romans, and then led this group of soldiers to do this deed of crucifixion. And no doubt there's other soldiers standing about to keep the Jews from rising up in insurrection, and to keep there from being a riot and these men that are crucified taken down. This leader that is there crucifying these men, waiting for these men to die, waiting from any order that would come through, he said, having seen how the Lord died, "And the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God." This man, the centurion, had seen a man die like none other. He had seen the Lord Jesus Christ willingly submit himself and give himself to this cruel method of death. He sees that he dies here, and he has been, it says in verse number 34, where he cried out to God the Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He heard those things. And of course, this centurion, being a Roman, being a pagan by birth and by raising, saw in this man in the center, this man in the middle of crucified in the midst of two thieves, he saw a difference in this man, and he says, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." I wonder about that man. I wonder if he was saved. I wonder about his connection to other centurions that we read about in the scriptures. I wonder about him, and only the Lord knows. But he declared the truth that this was the Son of God and is the Son of God. The scriptures go on to say in verse 40, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And so these ladies were there about. They were looking afar off. They desire their Lord. They love their Lord. Yet the shamefulness of his nakedness and all just a terrible thing, just a terrible, terrible thing. They have desire for him. They that they love him and they hate to see him suffer. So they have followed with him too. And ministered unto him in the necessity of fixing food, washing his clothes, and such as that, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. They were there looking on as their Savior had died. Their Savior had died for them. They don't understand that yet, but they love him and they are grieved in this. Terrible, terrible thing that has been done. Verse 42, now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Now, we need to understand that it's thought by the world that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on Friday, but the scripture is very clear that he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and from Friday to Sunday, and the way the Jews' day, the way the Jews observed the turning of the day. We observe the turning of the day at midnight with our Roman system of days, weeks, months, and years, and etc., the 365 and a quarter days a year, and we make that up for leap year every fourth year. The Jews, their time keeping was 360 days a year, and they made adjustments over the course of time. And they counted the beginning of the day not at midnight like we do, but at 6 p.m., and so for the Lord Jesus to have been crucified and been in the grave 3 days and three nights, Friday at 6 p.m. or at 3 p.m. when the Lord Jesus Christ would have died, and then they hurriedly buried him before 6 p.m. on Friday, you cannot have 3 days and three nights. And so it's very obvious that our Lord Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday, and in the grave by 6 p.m. on Wednesday, and then rose from the grave sometime after 6 p.m. on Saturday, which was the beginning of their Sabbath. Now, this is the preparation. So it is Passover day. It is the preparation day for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Passover is kind of gone away with the Jews. They really don't esteem it much. They put more of their emphasis on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But here on Passover Day, the Lord Jesus Christ has given himself. He is the Passover Lamb for his people. And Joseph of Arimathea, being a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, loved the Lord Jesus Christ, he went to Pilate and asked for his body that he might bury it. And it says here, because understand this, that this is a preparation day, and it's going to be a Sabbath day starting at 6 p.m. And in this, Brother Joseph of Arimathea, he defiles himself having come at a dead body. But he loves his Lord so, and it's believes that it is appropriate and right, and indeed it is, for him to come and deal with the body, the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and defile himself even before this of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first day of that. And so he goes to Pilate and asks for the Lord Jesus a body. And Pilate marveled, verse 44, if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked whether he had been dead any while. So the death of the cross was usually a death that could take days, 2-3 days. But Jesus died just in a matter of 6 hours there on the cross. And that's the way it was prophesied, and that's the way it was fulfilled. He bore the burden of our sins upon him on the cross from Gethsemane to the cross of Calvary, paid for them there, and had accomplished all that needed to be accomplished. And so Pilate marveled. He's already dead. What's that all about? He asked the centurion, and he says, yes. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. He said, yeah, fine, go ahead. You can have his body. He has suffered the penalty that has been meted out unto him, of course, unjustly, and Jesus being innocent, he's not guilty of anything whatsoever, not guilty of a thing. When he knew that it was so, that he was dead, he gave the body unto Joseph. And it says here in verse 46, and he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. And so these ladies that are following along watching, they are there. They are wondering about what's going to be done with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was common for the Romans was that they would just take these bodies, we understand historically, and just throw them in the ditch, throw them there just off to the side of Golgotha and Calvary. If there was anyone that cared, they would come and get the body. But otherwise the body would just lay there, and birds and varmints and all that would come, and that's just a sickening thing to think of. And so they were watching, but Joseph, he didn't want anything like that to happen to the Lord, and he cares for the Lord and wants to honor him and burying him hastily yet properly. And so he craves the body of Jesus from Pilate. Pilate gives him the body. He gets the linen, takes the Lord Jesus down. He doesn't do so by himself, because there's another man, a ruler in the Jews, a man in the Sanhedrin named Nicodemus. We see about him in John chapter 3. We see about him here towards the end of the Lord Jesus' ministry as he questions with the other leaders and said, why won't you hear the man? Why won't you hear the man? And their answer unto Nicodemus is look, Nicodemus, he's not a prophet. There's no prophet that comes out of Galilee. He's not a prophet. Search and look in the scriptures. It's not so. And of course, we know that they miss Jonah, and they talk him down in regards to that. And their opinion is he can't be a prophet, much less a savior. He can't be the Messiah. No way that he can be a Messiah. And they take our Lord down, wrap him, bury him in this tomb, roll the stone into the door, as the ladies, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, maybe even others, look on and see our Lord buried. Two facets of the gospel completed: the death and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as it was prophesied. I see their time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.